It's straight up at 9 o'clock and a very good morning. It is, of course, Thursday, and Thursday, what that means during this hour is a very special personal stash and escape, as we will cover an album in its entirety and uninterrupted. And when I told you earlier, it's a doozy, yes. Some pieces of music absolutely must be heard in their entirety. You get a lot of singles off of this album, but really when you hear it as a whole, it's the way to hear it. I'm talking about Let It Be, the 12th and final studio album by the Beatles. It was released in May of 1970, almost a month after the group's breakup, in tandem with the motion picture of the same name. Like most of the band's previous releases, the album topped record charts everywhere, including, of course, here in the United States. And the critical response was generally, at first, unfavorable. And Let It Be came to be regarded as one of the most controversial rock albums ever. And in April of 69, the Beatles issued the single Get Back, after which engineer Glyn Johns proposed rejected mixes of the album, then titled, at the time, the album was titled Get Back. They were widely bootlegged before its release. From then, the project laid in limbo as they moved on to the recording of Abbey Road, which was released that September. By then, John Lennon had departed the group, and in January of 1970, the remaining Beatles finished the album with the completion of Let It Be and I Me Mine. The former was issued as a single in April of 1970, and like all the album's recordings to that point, they had been produced by George Martin. Get Back was ultimately assembled under the title of Let It Be by Phil Spector in early 1970. He omitted Don't Let Me Down, the B-side of the Get Back single, and instead included a 1968 of Across the Universe, which we'll talk about in just a second. Spector also included excerpts of studio chatter and applied some orchestral and choir overdubs to four of the tracks. Those additions offended McCartney, particularly in the case of The Long and Winding Road. By late 1968, more than 2 years after the Beatles gave up touring, McCartney was eager for the group to perform live again. The other three Beatles were less enthusiastic about McCartney's proposals, as they had just completed 5 months' work on the band's self-titled double album, also known as the White Album, of course. And the sessions had seen a number of serious arguments and strained relationships among the group. George Harrison, in particular, was opposed to the idea of touring, having taken the strongest dislike of any in the group to the grueling tours during the Beatlemania era. And Let It Be topped album charts, as I said, everywhere. And The Long and Winding Road also reached number one here in the U.S. despite its commercial success, according to a Beatles author, Keith Bodman. Reviews weren't good for that at first. And one of the songs you're going to hear on side one here in a couple of seconds is Across the Universe. You know, you wonder where people get their genius from. One night in 1967, the phrase, "Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup," came to John Lennon after hearing his then-wife, Cynthia, going on and on about something. Later, after she'd gone to sleep, John kept hearing those words over and over, flowing like an endless stream. Lennon went downstairs and turned it into a song. He began to write the rest of the lyrics, and when he was done, he went to bed and forgot about them. The flavor of the song was heavily influenced by Lennon and the Beatles' interest in transcendental meditation in late 1967 and early 68. When the song, by the way, that's when the song was composed. Based on this, he added the mantra, Jai Guru Deva Om, you know that, right? To that piece. I can't do it right, but you know the deal, which became the link to the chorus. The phrase is a sentence fragment whose words could only have many meanings. Literally, it approximates the glory to the shining remover of darkness. The song's lyrical structure is straightforward. Three repetitions of a unit consisting of a verse, the line, and I won't repeat it again. And the lyrics are highly image-based. In his 1970 interview with Rolling Stone magazine, Lennon referred to the song as perhaps the best, most poetic lyric he ever wrote. "It's one of the best lyrics I've ever written. In fact, it could be the best," he said. "It's good poetry, or whatever you call it, without chewing it." See, the ones I like are the ones that stand as words without melody, he said. Join us, uninterrupted and in its entirety, side one of Let It Be.
I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one in which Doris gets her oats.
Because Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, whisper.
That was side one of one of the greatest albums of all time, Let It Be. Finished it off there with Maggie May. And I have delayed doing the Let It Be album because for me, personally, it's such an emotional album. And most importantly, the song Let It Be, really emotional. I there's never been a time I heard it where I didn't cry. And when I tell you how it came about, and finding that I share a lot of the loss of a mom the same way that Paul lost his mom. I never don't get emotional over that particular song. It was written and sung by Paul McCartney and credited to Lennon-McCartney's partnership. The single version of the song, which was produced by George Martin, features a much softer guitar solo and the orchestral section mixed really low, compared to the album version that was produced by Phil Spector. And that featured a more aggressive guitar, as you just heard, a much more aggressive guitar solo and the orchestral sections that were mixed together. At the time, it had the highest debut on Billboard's Hot 100, beginning its chart run at number 6 and eventually reaching the top. It was their final single before McCartney announced his departure from the band. He said he got the idea of Let It Be after he had a dream about his mother during a tense period surrounding the sessions that they were having for the White Album back in 1968. Mary Patricia McCartney died of cancer in 1956 when Paul was 14. In rehearsing the song with the Beatles in January of 69, in place of the Mother Mary lyric, McCartney would occasionally sing Brother Malcolm, and that was in reference to the Beatles assistant Mal Evans. McCartney later said, "It was great to visit with her again. I felt very blessed to have that dream." So that got me writing Let It Be. McCartney first began to play around with Let It Be in the recording studio in between takes of Piggies on September 19th of 68. Some months later, the song would be rehearsed at Twickenham Film Studios in January of 69, where the group had the previous day begun what would become the Let It Be film. We are going to waste no further time. We're going to get into side two in its entirety. Let's flip this thing over and enjoy uninterrupted and in its entirety, side two of Let It Be.
I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. Everybody had a good time. Everybody had a wet dream. Everybody saw the sunshine. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody had a good year. Everybody let the hair down. Everybody pulled the socks up. Everybody put the pool down.
Oh yeah. I love you more than Rosetta. Sweet Loretta Fat, she thought she was a cleaner, but she was a frying pan. Yeah, the picture, the picker, the picks of the fingers, great. Okay.
It's the way an album should be heard in its entirety and uninterrupted. That, of course, Let It Be, the swan song, if you will. It was really Abbey Road was actually the last recorded, but it was the last. This one was the last released, and a lot of great songs on that side. Get Back, of course, taken from a live rooftop performance, and we'll get into that in a second. The very first song that you heard on side two was I've Got a Feeling. It's a combination of two unfinished songs, Paul McCartney's I've Got a Feeling and John Lennon's Everybody Had a Hard Year. And of course, the song features Billy Preston on electric piano. Lennon's song was a litany where every line started with the word everybody, and the song had been recorded twice before by Lennon prior to the Let It Be sessions, the first in early December of 68. While McCartney's version of the song was very optimistic, Lennon had actually endured a really hard year. He had divorced his first wife, Cynthia, and at the time, Yoko suffered a miscarriage, and he was battling heroin addiction on top of having been arrested for drug possession. So it actually was a hard year. I've Got a Feeling, a combination of two songs. We then heard One After 909. Lennon explained, it's a John Lennon written song, of course credited to Lennon McCartney. That was something that he wrote when he was about 17. He said, I lived at 9 Newcastle Road. I was born on the 9th of October, and it's just a number that follows me around. But numerologically, apparently, I'm a number 6 or 3 or something, but it's all part of 9. Paul McCartney said, it's not a great song, but it's a great favorite of mine because it has great memories for me of John and I when we were trying to write bluesy freight train music. We then heard The Long and Winding Road. And The Long and Winding Road, one of my favorites of all time. It was written by Paul McCartney, but credited, of course, to the Lennon-McCartney team. It became the group's 20th and last number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 charts here in America. The main recording of the song took place in January of 69, and it featured a really sparse musical arrangement. And when preparing the tapes from these sessions for the release in April of 70, producer Phil Spector added orchestral and choral overdubs. Spector's modifications angered McCartney to the point to when McCartney made his case in the British High Court for the Beatles' disbandment. He cited the treatment of The Long and Winding Road as one of six reasons for doing so. New versions of the song with simpler instrumentation were subsequently released by McCartney and the Beatles. And Paul said he came up with the title, The Long and Winding Road, during one of his first visits to his property, High Park Farm. That's near Campbelltown, it's actually Campbellton in Scotland, which he purchased in June of 66. The phrase was inspired by the sight of a road stretching up into the hills in the remote highlands surrounding of lochs and distant mountains. He wrote the song at his farm in 1968, inspired by the growing tension among the Beatles. Based on other comments that Paul has made, the lyrics can be seen as Paul expressing his anguish at the direction of his personal life, as well as a nostalgic look back at Beatles history. McCartney once recalled, "I just sat down at my piano in Scotland, started playing, and came up with that song, imagining it was going to be done by someone like Ray Charles. I have always found inspiration in the calm beauty of Scotland, and again, it proved the place where I found inspiration for this." Again, one of the great songs of all time. You also heard For You Blue. George Harrison wrote For You Blue in late 1968 as a love song to his wife, Patty Boyd. In his autobiography, I Me Mine, he describes the composition as a simple 12-bar song following all the normal principles except for It's a Little Happy-Go-Lucky. The song was partly influenced by Harrison's recent stay in Woodstock in upstate New York, where he had collaborated with Bob Dylan and jammed with the band The Band. That visit allowed Harrison to experience a musical camaraderie that contrasted with the tense atmosphere in the Beatles over much of what had taken place in 1968. And of course, we closed it out with Get Back. Is there a better jam than that? Credited, of course, to Lennon McCartney. Get Back was the Beatles' first single that was released in true stereo here in the United States. It's unusual in the Beatles' canon that almost every moment of that song's evolution has been extensively documented, from its beginning to an offhanded riff to its final mixing in several versions. Much of this documentation, of course, is in the form of illegal but widely available bootleg recordings. The song's melody grew out of some unstructured jamming that took place in January of 69 during rehearsal sessions. Over the next few minutes of jam sessions, McCartney had introduced some of the lyrics, reworking "Get Back to the Place You Should Be" from fellow Beatle George Harrison's Sour Milk Sea into "Get Back to Where You Once Belonged." At the beginning of the version that you just heard off the album, the original version off the album, Lennon can be heard jokingly saying, "Sweet Loretta Fart," often misheard as "fat" due to Lennon's pronunciation. She thought she was a cleaner, but she was a frying pan, of course. The album version of the song also ends with Lennon famously quipping, "I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition." He said that at the end of their January 30th, 1969 rooftop concert on, you know, as you all know, on the rooftop of Apple Records. But Phil Spector edited it back into Get Back during the Let It Be recording there. In an interview in Playboy magazine in 1980, Lennon described Get Back as a better version of Lady Madonna. He also said there's some underlying thing in there about Yoko, saying that McCartney looked at Yoko Ono in the studio every time he sang Get Back to Where You Once Belonged. And that was side two, uninterrupted in its entirety, of one of the greatest albums of all time, Let It Be. Glad you were here for it. It's The Mornings with Ed Show.